Did he say someday I'll teach you Rewind? I'm not really sure what that means. Oh, well, I'll go up on the net and look and see what he really said. All right. Well, now, so far tonight seems kind of utopian. Yes, we can do it. Well, you know me. Here's the dark side. Do you mind if I read you a little something from FBI.gov? Yeah, it's your life and you can do what you want. It's your mind and you can think what you want. But this is what the FBI says. This is what the man says. Sovereign citizens, a growing domestic threat to law enforcement. Let's see. This is, this is like 2 years old. But anyway, I didn't see anything later than 2011. They could be dismissed as a nuisance, a loose network of individuals living in the United States who call themselves sovereign citizens and believe that federal, state, and local governments operate illegally. Some of their actions, although quirky, are not crimes. The offenses they do commit seem minor, like creating false license plates, driver's licenses, and even currency. However, a closer look at sovereign citizens' more extreme and severe crimes, from financial scams to impersonating or threatening law enforcement officials, gives reason for concern. If someone challenges, for example, a standard traffic stop for false license plates, their ideology, the behavior of these sovereign citizen extremists, quickly can escalate to violence. Since 2000, lone offender sovereign citizen extremists have killed 6 law enforcement officers. In 2010, 2 Arkansas police officers stopped sovereign citizen extremists Jerry Kane and his 16-year-old son Joseph during a routine traffic stop on Interstate 40. Kane jumped out of the vehicle and opened fire with an AK-47, killing the officers. The sovereign citizen threat likely will grow as the nationwide movement is fueled by the Internet. The economic downturn, this is in 2011, okay, and seminars held across the country that spread their ideology and show people how they can tap into funds and eliminate debt through fraudulent methods. Ah, the money again. As sovereign citizens' numbers grow, so do the chances of contact with law enforcement, and thus the risks that incidents will end in violence. Law enforcement and judicial officials must understand the sovereign citizen movement, be able to identify indicators, and know how to protect themselves from the group's threatening tactics. We'll be right back with your calls and more on this sovereign living thing. Seems like a good idea, but everything on planet Earth is problematic. Ask an ant. This is Coast to Coast AM. Okay, Blush family, tell me, is sovereign living tantamount to being a sovereign citizen, in which case the FBI got an eye on you?
Yes and no.
Perfect.
First of all, we don't believe in being a citizen of any state. There is a, quote, sovereign citizen movement that is out there. And, so they've apparently killed 6 police officers. Statistically, you are more likely to be injured or killed by a police officer than you are by a, quote, sovereign citizen. Same with a terrorist attack. I was personally profiled by the Southern Poverty Law Center in a document they call the intelligence report that they sent out to fusion centers and law enforcement institutions all across the country with my face right in the front and center. It had Alex Jones, it had Ron Paul, it had all these people. And Catherine Bleich, right in the middle. And this is during the time period where John and I are traveling around the country, knocking on the doors of fusion centers and saying, hey, some really bad things are coming out of your institutions. We would like to learn more. So, yes, they are looking at us because we are such radical agitators. Yes, they do, in my opinion, have a misunderstanding of where true violence permeates from within our society. All you have to do is get on YouTube and search police brutality or G20 summit, and you will find massive amounts of grassroots video footage that has been uploaded on the internet that shows in proof, in video proof, that government is consistently all across the globe committing massive amounts of violence against peaceful people. We have a very close friend named Schaefer Cox, who is now a political prisoner in jail. He was accused of being a, quote, sovereign citizen, and the FBI sent informants into his life, and they were paid to get a guilty conviction on him. And he now sits in jail. He was kidnapped and taken away from his newborn baby girl and his 2-year-old baby boy. and he sits in jail in Illinois. He's from Alaska. And the FBI was notified about him when he gave a speech in Montana called The Solution. And I really encourage everybody to get on YouTube as soon as possible and search Schaefer Cox, The Solution, and watch this speech. You will find that these people who are being accused of being violent, radical, sovereign citizens are actually people who are just looking to be left alone. And they feel like the violent force of government is all around them and they can't get away. Do some of them act like a cat cornered and lash out violently? Yes, unfortunately. Thankfully, the numbers aren't even in the double digits. When you look at the violence coming from government, it is in the millions, and it is disgusting, and it is wrong. And I think that it is a horrible thing that the FBI is doing, trying to convince the masses that it is the, quote, sovereign citizen movement that is the problem and not government that is the problem. So we are trying to reclaim the word sovereign, and we are trying to educate people on the true meaning of sovereignty. And to me, it means that I own myself. Nobody else owns me. No one owns my body. No one owns my words. No one owns my thoughts. I am a sovereign, and all of those things belong to me, and I make decisions on how I behave. Now, if I commit an act of violence or fraud or I in other ways harm somebody, I expect that someone will respond. But other than that, I want to be left alone, and I want to live my life the way I see fit. And currently, our society is constructed in a way that you cannot just live your life left alone. If you want to drive a car, you want to own property, you want to bank, whatever it is you want to do, grow food, government is trying to stick their fingers into that. So we're trying to take the nastiness that has been built around the word sovereignty and show people how beautiful it really is. If you can get your fingers dirty in the garden, and you can collect rainwater in your backyard, and you can get your first flock of chickens and eat breakfast grown in your own backyard, that is sovereignty, and that feels really good, and it's a beautiful thing. It is not an evil thing, and it should not be demonized the way the FBI has been doing it. And, you know, on a quick side note, on the break, I heard a thing about the chicken ownership being exciting to people right now. And I did write an ebook on beginning chicken ownership, and I want to offer it for free all day Sunday today. I guess we're in the wee morning hours to Coast listeners. So you can download that by going to katherinebleich.com, and it's right there on the front. You can see the big picture of the chicken. And from midnight Pacific time today until midnight tonight, that'll be free for Coast to Coast listeners, because I really do believe that in order to be a sovereign person, not a sovereign citizen. I don't want to be a sovereign, or I don't want to be a citizen of any state, because in my opinion, states conduct massive amounts of violence. But in order to be sovereign, you really need to understand the food cycle and take ownership of it. So if you're interested in chickens, it has been the biggest blessing in our life in the past couple of years, and I really encourage you to get involved and try it out.
All right, and that's Katherinebleich. Okay. I was just checking my mind, make sure I didn't transpose the E and the I again. Good grief. No, I got myself doing it. Yeah, you know, over the years, I noticed that no more law and order, no more peace and justice. It's all law enforcement. And this is, again, quoting from the FBI site, sovereign citizens almost, now we're talking about sovereign living, but sovereign citizens, that's almost a contradiction in terms, often produce documents that contain peculiar or out-of-place language. In some cases, they speak their own language or will write only in certain colors, such as in red crayon. Several indicators can help identify these individuals. References to the Bible, the Constitution of the United States, U.S. Supreme Court decisions, or treaties with foreign governments. Well, we wouldn't want to quote any of that stuff, particularly if it might impede law enforcement. Well, what if it's an unconstitutional law? You're going to enforce that one too? Answer is yes. And it really tickles me. I mean, I got to pick on Alan a little bit here. Says he writes me, come on, you really don't believe that nonsense. Our government is nothing like the Nazis of the past. Most people have a fairly good life and many gadgets. Most have their rights and privileges. Sent from my iPhone.
Both John and I know how little rights there really are left in this country. We've both been arrested twice on free speech issues. We've both been kidnapped off the street for using our words and put in a cage. That is not law enforcement or government respecting my rights. That is law enforcement and government violating my rights, and it happens all across our country, every single day, multiple times. PeacefulStreetsProject.com.
Yeah, and it was once said that that none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. And I believe that statement rings true for the American experience. A lot of people think this is the land of the free, home of the brave. But in reality, there's massive bureaucracies and there's more government intrusion into people's daily lives than there are in most other states relative to other places. It's not the hardcore, open tyranny that you experience in some third world dictatorships. Well, it might be if you're a minority living in a low-income neighborhood like in Oakland or someplace where the police are completely out of control, Houston Police Department. But, you know, with the relative economic freedom and the higher standard of living that the middle class and the upper middle class enjoys in the United States also comes with more taxation. So the more relative economic freedom that people have, the larger of a tax base that they are for a tax plantation. And what happened with the American experience is because there was economic freedom that allowed for the Industrial Revolution to take place in this country and allowed for the middle class to emerge, it was a massive tax base. That massive tax base was utilized in order to create the largest global empire this world has ever seen. And if people don't think there's injustice coming from the U.S. government or the U.S. government's peachy and we should all be pleased and happy with the status quo, just take a look at what the CIA has done and how much they've changed the course of history single-handedly, the manipulation and intervention that they've done in foreign countries and the banana republics that they've set up and just the straight force projection. I mean, my entire adult life, Catherine's too, it's been a time of war, and it's been silly, nonsense, objectionable wars that were based on false premises. So for people to think that everything's peachy here in the States, I think they need to maybe take a reality check and realize that they're probably contributing to a lot of nasty, violent, oppressive things that are taking place in the world. And they may think that they're free, but as I said before, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they're free. I mean, you're not free if you have to ask permission to travel. You're not free if in order to fly across the country, you have to either get radiated by a body scanner or have a stranger put their hands in your pants.
This is why I don't fly.
Yeah, we don't fly with our children. We don't want them to think that it's a normal thing for strangers to touch their parents in their private areas. You're not free if you have to pay a property tax on your property. You never own your property. In Missouri, they have a property tax on vehicles. It's insane.
My car was impounded when John was driving it from Texas up to Missouri to go get items for our baby from my mother. And I could not afford to pay the property tax on the car, so I had not registered it. And John was driving through Muskogee, Oklahoma, and they stole my car, and they left him on the side of the road with our friend Steven, stranded in the dark with no access to anything. And I'm 8 months pregnant at home in Texas, and they're telling me that I need to drive to Oklahoma to come get the car myself.
Now
that is
freedom.
Not freedom.
No, you're absolutely right.
I had the privilege of telling the police officers a joke. It's a Lysander Spooner joke. He was a 19th century individualist, anarchist, abolitionist. And I asked the police officers as we're stranded there on the side of the road, I said, let me ask you a joke. What's the difference between a highway robber and a police officer? And he looked at me kind of dumbfounded. And I said, well, at least when the highway robber takes your property, he doesn't tell you he's doing it for your own good. And of course it went over the police officer's head, but yeah, I don't think this is a free country. I think the freedom that we have is an illusion. And I think it's becoming more and more oppressive by the day as this massive military surveillance state is built all around us. And if we don't snap out of it, stop drinking the Kool-Aid, thinking everything's peachy clean and daisies are floating around and there's peace doves flying around, then there may be a point where there's no return. And the technological dictatorship is so massive and powerful and has so much control over our lives, and they've taken everyone's guns that, you know, before you know it, they're worshiping the president like they worship Kim Jong-il or Kim Jong-un. So I think now is the time for people to take stock of their lives and to decide which part of history they're going to take part in.
And, you know, ultimately, yeah, we're all contributing to things that we don't like. You know, I am forced to pay certain taxes, you know, at the gas pump and things like that. And you know, we've all been taking baby steps to try and cease funding the things we find immoral. So, you know, look at your life. How are you contributing to the problem? What are you putting out there into the world and into the universe that is funding violence or that is pushing it forward? And what changes can you make in your life to stop doing that? Because ultimately, it's not going to stop unless we as individuals take ownership of our own life and refuse to participate in the violation of anybody's liberty. And we also need to stand up for other people. You know, our friend Antonio in Austin, he was accused falsely of spitting in a police officer's face. And someone on Craigslist posted a video that they took on their cell phone across the street that proved he did not spit in the police officer's face. And Antonio, you know, he was harassed by that police officer because he stood up to a cop who was harming a woman. And he founded Peaceful Streets Project because of it. And now there are people all over Texas and all over the country starting chapters, and they're coming to Antonio and they're telling their stories of police abuse. And really, it takes one person with a video camera or one person with a voice saying, no, stop doing that. You do not have the right to hit that person, to tase that person, to violate that person. And if we all start standing up for each other, they're not going to be able to keep getting away with it. But the longer we sit silent and the longer we stay complacent, the worse it's going to get.
Well, I can't argue with that. But if you'll notice, I don't think people think it's peachy keen here in the country. Congress's approval numbers are absolutely in the dumpster. Is that a trademark name? All right, in the dumper then. The president, I think I saw, has a 37% approval rating. 37. And they just go right on down the line, just doing exactly what they think they're going to do. And people are pushing back. I think, you know, I've talked about, I mean, somebody sends an email a while ago going, you're a madman. You're a right wing nut or whatever. It's like, no, I'm really more of a drumstick or maybe a thigh, but I'm definitely not a wing. It's we are all citizens of this country. And when it gets to the point where we're starting to think, maybe we want to be Louisianans and we don't really want to be Americans, or we want to be Texans, or we want to be New Mexicans or Californians, but we don't really want to be Americans. That's a sad state of affairs. I was watching Enemy of the State the other night. You know, that movie was released in 1998, next month. It'll be 15 years. And the stuff that was revealed on that, you mentioned the surveillance state, everywhere you go. And, of course, this is a spy thriller, and you're looking at it going, yeah, wow. Well, everything that was depicted in that film, they can do now and much more. Now, we got a full bank of calls here, and they all want to talk to you. So let's go very quickly to Justin in Alberta, Canada, on Astro Line number one. How are you?
Hello. Are you there?
You're on. Yeah, let's go.
Right on. You betcha. I just wanted to mention that there's a major law of free man movement going on in Canada right now, just like down there, led by a man named Dean Clifford. And he's on to what they're actually doing, how they're manipulating the laws and what's going on when you enter into contract with them by using social security numbers and social insurance numbers, you know, and stuff like that. And have you guys heard about the law movement going on in Canada?
No, not much. Maybe they have.
Yeah, I've heard some about it. A lot of activism going on in the courts. We thankfully had the foresight to not get our children's social security numbers, so we don't want to enter them voluntarily into that system to begin with. It's much more struggle when you're already part of that system to get out of it. So we're hoping to just avoid being a part of it altogether for the next generation.
Okay, well, yeah, it appears to be the only way to escape the ever-growing government apparatus is just to reduce the number of numbers that are associated with your person. All right, let's take our little break here. They're going to come fast and furious as we go through the night. Oh, there's another one we can talk about later. This is Coast to Coast AM. Yeah, Saturday nights. It's a good one. It's a good one for me, and I hope you're enjoying the program tonight. You know, we're talking about revolution. We played a little Revolution from the Beatles earlier. And we're talking about sovereign living with John Bush and Catherine Bleich. Remember her free offer for you. Catherine Bleich, B-L-E-I-S-H, com and Catherine with a C. We're talking revolution here. We really are. Hopefully it's a soft revolution, because the hard revolutions are just that. But there's a fellow named Dave Hodges. You may have heard of him. He's got a program called The Common Sense Show. And this is from the 7th of this month. But he says, you know, the three stages of revolution manifest in the following manner. A minimum number of the persecuted population becomes aware that they are victims and share a collective consciousness with their fellow victimized citizens. 10% is the minimum number needed to successfully complete stage one of three. Number two, awareness leads to action in the form of civil disobedience. And number three, civil disobedience is met with opposing force by the power elite, and the conflict leads to open hostilities culminating in revolution. Well, we did it once. I'd hate to think we have to do it again, but don't you find that the shrouds and the screens are coming down, the smoke is clearing out of the way, and you just see what we're dealing with here. You know, everything is based in fear. Fear, fear, fear. Oh, the government will shut down. Oh, well, what about all that free health care? Have you seen what's going on with people's insurance rates? I know of one person who was in a group policy at the company they work at, and it went from something like $47 per month to up over $300. So what is the point? Because 3 million Americans are totally without health care. 3 million out of 330 million, between 30 and 50 of them, are here absolutely patently illegally. So think about it and start planning your moves, because if you haven't planned any moves, you're probably getting behind about now. Big shout out and thank you to everybody who became Coast Insiders recently. Mr. Norrie announced that it was a record month last month for Coast Insiders. 3 years of archived programs. Listen to them anytime you want. Might even get a little bit of sleep if you're burning out about now, going, ugh, I can't take it. I've got to sleep. Well, yes, you can take it, but maybe you just don't want to. So you can take it with you. Coast Insider, you will like it. And if you visit the coasttocoastam.com website, which you should every day, there's some interesting stuff there. Black glass could be comet chunk. That's from Unexplained Mysteries. High-tech bionic man leaves British shores for U.S. tour. UFO abductee still haunted 40 years on. And scholar claims Jesus was a Roman hoax. Well, I'm sure that'll delight some of the listeners out there, but probably not many. Anyway, we shall see. He ain't Santa Claus. And this ain't no mainstream show. This is not even an upstream show. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back with the Blush family. Stand by. Well, don't want to just leave it there. Scholar claims, operative word here, scholar, claims Jesus was a Roman hoax. So let me just tell you about this. Joseph Atwill, who's the author of a book entitled Caesar's Messiah, the Roman Conspiracy to Invent Jesus, asserts that Christianity did not begin as a religion, but was actually a sophisticated government propaganda exercise used to pacify the subjects of the Roman Empire. Okay, his claims are based on what he described as important and revealing parallels between a first-person account of first-century Judea, an ancient Roman province now part of Israel and Palestine, and the New Testament. What seems to have eluded many scholars is that the sequence of events and locations of Jesus' ministry are more or less the same as the sequence of events and locations of the military campaign of Emperor Titus Flavius, as described by Josephus, Atwill wrote in a blog on his website. He believes the story of Jesus was actually copied and created from the biography of the Roman emperor. However, Ronald A. Lindsay says, he's a senior research fellow at the Center for Inquiry, a nonprofit educational organization. He authored an essay on the evidence for Jesus in the book Sources of the Jesus Tradition. He says, the reality is we are unlikely ever to know the facts about Jesus. There are too many different stories about him, all of which have some serious credibility problems and which are inconsistent with one another, he told us to Discovery News. For the objective historian, he will always remain a shadowy figure with little substantive biographical content. On the one hand, we have many who will take things on faith, accepting some subset of the stories as unquestionably true. On the other hand, there are those who insist that Jesus is an invented figure, a myth, or hoax. I think both of these extremes are almost equally implausible. So there it is. In other words, it's a pointless article. Okay. Now, here we are. Did we take our break or not? No, we didn't. Well, we did? Okay, good. I'm wrapped in the wonder of all of this. I want to go immediately to a call here. Wildcard line number 2, Lee in Salem, Virginia. Come on board and talk with the Blush family about sovereign living.
Well, I was just wondering why, when Echelon has been in place since the early 70s, and no one cared about that until the new facility in Utah gets switched on, and now it's a problem.
Well, it's just that thing that it's been brought to people's attention.
Well, Echelon knew about it.
People have known about that for a long time. They've admitted it since the early 70s.
You know, man, it's that in my opinion, it's that it's the mainstream media, as much as it creates gravity wherever it is. Gee, why is there so much gravity coming from the TV station? It's because it sucks so bad. That's why. Hey, it's late enough. I can say that. Well, it's the truth, though. I mean, there's some imaginary credibility that goes along with stuff being shown on the television.
Yeah.
And so as long as it's out there and no one's talking about it, well, then it can't be that big of a deal. But if mainstream media picks it up for some reason, then all of a sudden it's all the rage. You agree, Blushes?
Yeah, we've seen that phenomenon. We booted the TV out a few years ago from our home, and we don't let our children get indoctrinated by it. But we actually are working on a television program of our own that's going to be self-distributed and put out through our own channels. It's called Sovereign Living, the reality show. And a lot of the themes that we've talked about today are going to be covered in a 12-episode reality-based program. It's a project of the nonprofit I mentioned before, the Center for Natural Living. And the website, sovereignliving.tv, we actually just released episode 1 for the public to view. And it goes over self-sufficiency, and it paints the story of how we're trying to reach our goal of becoming 50% food self-sufficient. And we have the second and third episodes completed as well. The second episode documents how we're dealing with some serious neighbor problems and trying to solve those problems without relying on police. And the third episode actually documents the natural home birth of our second child, William Lysander. Future episodes talk about alternative education, alternative currency, Bitcoin, community defense even. So I think there's a serious credibility problem on the mainstream television, and I'm really excited about the trend that we're seeing with people turning off the cable TV and hopping on Roku boxes and checking out shows, online networks like Gaim TV and George Norrie's program that he has on there. And I think there's a shift taking place. People can see through the lies. They see through that. They see that the mainstream pundits, that Bill O'Reilly is wearing no clothes, And we're excited to take part in this evolution that's taking place with this show that we've put together. That, again, it provides a real-world demonstration of the ideas that we've been talking about. A lot of people think it's far-fetched. It could never work. Well, we're making it work here in Central Texas, and we're building a community of genuinely free, sustainable, sovereign people. And we're really excited about this project. People can check it out at sovereignliving.tv. We're actually doing an Indiegogo campaign to raise money to move forward with the program. So if you really want to get an inside look at the up close and personal look at the Blush family, that's definitely a good way to learn about these ideals of sovereign living.
Excellent. Let's talk to Lee on Astro Line number 3 in Snowflake AZ. What's up, Lee?
Hi. I have a comment and question for your guest. I need to correct you. The large middle class that was formed in this country following World War II is largely due to the GI Bill and FHA and VA loans that made it possible for largely agrarian and blue-collar young men and women to go to college and afford a home. So you're incorrect about what you said earlier. My question is, what would you have done if your baby was born with a heart defect requiring surgery despite your organic diet? Now, understand, I've eaten organic exclusively for 30 years. And what if you were in a car accident that required trauma center to save your life?
Well, you know, we had both of our babies at home, and of course it's always a concern when you're having a home birth that something could go wrong. And we have an amazing midwife. Her name is Mary Michael Potter of New Life Birth Services. She's been a midwife for 30 plus years. She's trained almost all of the midwives in Central Texas. And we felt really confident that if they got to a point where we needed to get to a hospital, that she would be able to trigger the go before it got to a point where it was too late. Now, had something happened where there was a long-term problem with one of our children, we really believe in the power of community. And John and I have worked really hard to maintain solid reputations, be, you know, good people, honest people, moral people. And we've really, I believe, put our lives on the line trying to spread this message of freedom and liberty and self-sovereignty and ownership of your own life and your own body. And I really, in my heart of hearts, believe that the community would come together and help us deal with those problems. You know, we're crowdsourcing, crowdfunding the creation of this reality show. I was able to crowdsource the completion of my master's degree. I quit working on my master's when I got involved with Ron Paul 2008. I started, you know, failing out of school, so I quit to focus on politics. And after I had my daughter, I decided I wanted to finish, and the community said, you know what, you gave your life savings to try and change the world. We're going to help you finish your master's degree. So I really do believe that if there is some sort of chronic problem or a car accident or something happens to devastate our family, that we will have the monetary support there from our community, and we don't need to participate in a centralized institution like Obamacare, which we absolutely 100% refuse to participate with, and we encourage others to do the same.
Yeah, we're not against hospitals or Western allopathic medicine per se. We just choose to practice a holistic approach to health. We believe the body has the natural ability to heal itself when given the proper nutrients and existing in an environment free of toxins, which is one of the reasons why the nonprofit, the Center for Natural Living, we're actually doing a philanthropic endeavor. Because, again, Kat, as you mentioned, we have strong networks and strong communities that we've built for the past decade, and we have people there that can act as a safety net to help us. But not everyone has those relationships. Not everyone has savings in the bank to deal with emergencies. So we're using this nonprofit we started, the Center for Natural Living, as a means to an end to demonstrate that the best way to solve these problems, the best way to help those families that may not be able to afford the emergency care, is through voluntary cooperation and through people getting off of their behinds and helping one another. Because there's a lot of nasty things that take place in this society. And one of the things we're going to be doing is buying at least 100 fluoride water filters for newer expecting mothers. We're hoping to raise the money to get 100 plus and provide them to new families so they can avoid giving their children fluoridated water in their baby formula, which is actually a big no-no, even according to the CDC. So, you know, we're not against hospitals entirely, but we are in favor of people building communities, building alternative networks. People can even pull their money together for some sort of alternative insurance cooperative. But the status quo, the health care insurance that we have now, it doesn't benefit the people's health. It benefits the pharmaceutical industrial complex. It benefits the big insurance companies, and it benefits the big bureaucracies. We want to have nothing to do with it, and we're encouraging people to explore alternatives. But, yeah, if things happen, we're never going to be able to live in a world free of risk. All we can do is take necessary steps to mitigate that risk. And I think the best thing we could do to reduce risk in our lives is to build strong networks of like-minded individuals that are willing to go to bat for one another. And that's what we're doing here in Central Texas and doing all over the country.
And, you know, there are doctors out there who are willing to help people who are in financial need. Dr. Mm-hmm. Ron Paul, he refuses to take Medicare. You know, he's the OBGYN. He delivered babies before he became a congressman. And he would not take Medicare, Medicaid, but instead he would treat these women for free and help them deliver their babies on their own. On the board of directors for the Center for Natural Living is Dr. Matt Buckley, and as a part of the nonprofit, he is serving families in the Austin community for free to help them take ownership of their health and to deal with some of their chronic issues. So, you know, we think it's really important to build community and to build relationships. If there's something that is ailing you, why not try and find a doctor who's willing to work with you where you are? Because the doctors don't like the insurance companies either.
You know, I never figured that out. It's like I understand that some doctors are better than others. That's just the way it is in every profession. Some are really gifted at stuff. Some are okay. They'll get you through. But, you know, you really need this doctor if you want to get this done. I mean, this is some cutting edge stuff. I get it. But why is it if you go into a... say it costs you $5,000 with your insurance, but you're going to pay cash, so it's only $3,500 for you. You know, that makes no sense. What's that?
They know they can milk the insurance company. I think insurance companies pay like $35 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, but that's not what it sounds like. if they're milking the insurance companies, then it seems like they'd rather go with the insurance than go with the cash payment. But
I think that would probably be the big hospitals, you know. But when you're looking at a doctor who runs his own business and isn't involved with a big, you know, centralized giant hospital institution, it probably is easier for them. A good friend of mine in high school, her dad's a doctor, and she was the business manager for his office, and she said she literally spent all day on the phone haggling with insurance companies just to try to get paid. Now,
well, that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that these procedures are not standardized. If you need somebody who's particularly gifted in a certain area of surgery, or some I'm just using surgery as an example, then that doctor may cost you a little more simply because they may be worth a little bit more. But there's no standardized pricing for these common procedures. And for them to say, oh, well, the hospitals know they can bilk the insurance companies for, well, if that were the case, then they wouldn't be giving you a discount for cash. It sounds to me like the insurance companies are beating up on the hospitals. And let us remember that the only reason that you have a gigantic hospital is because you have a gigantic number of patients, right? Large metropolitan areas have larger hospitals than smaller ones. Let's go to Brian in Los Angeles on Astro 5. Are you there, Brian?
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
I wanted to tell you guys that my wife and I live right here in Los Angeles, and we do what we can. We have our own little garden in our apartment. We have about 700 square foot apartment, and we have just some tomatoes, some onions, and bell peppers. But I have just two questions. What can you suggest for us to increase our chances of living in L.A. during a catastrophe? And also, how do you not have your children with Social Security cards? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks.
Right on. Those are great questions, and good for you for taking the first steps towards food self-sufficiency. Starting small is the great way to go. It's really difficult to grow food. You can't just plop a seed down in the soil and expect it to grow. You got to nurture it and understand the ins and outs of the different vegetables. But, you know, the first thing I would say is I imagine you probably are in Los Angeles for a place of work, but a city like that, in the event of a disaster, it's going to be very difficult to maintain a decent standard of living and not get caught up in the civil unrest that would come from any type of societal collapse or economic disaster. So the first thing I would recommend is getting the heck out of L.A. I know that may be easier said than done. Secondarily, I'd link up with a strong network of like-minded individuals. There's strength in unity, there's strength in numbers, there's strength in truth. And you could build these networks and link up with community-supported agriculture cooperatives. I'd begin storing food. It's very important as well. I would recommend owning firearms for yourself and your family and learning how to use them safely and proficiently in order to defend yourself and your community in the event of civil unrest. Stock up on medical supplies. Do what you can to live a healthy, active life so your body can treat itself in the event of emergency or some sort of infection. It's less likely that you'll need to rely on professional health care services. And regarding the Social Security numbers, we had the home birth at home, so there was no social worker or any bureaucrat breathing down our neck encouraging us to sign up for the Social Security number. The way that we see it, we want our children to be provided as many opportunities to choose their own destiny as they can.
All right, I'll tell you what, John, we got to stop right there. We got down to about 10 seconds here. Let's pick up on those Social Security numbers and the ramifications of not having them when we come back. This is Coast to Coast AM.